Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Archetypes with your host, renowned intuitive and author, Roy Solberg.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me today. This is Roy, and we're going to talk archetypes. But before I forget, which I have a tendency to do, let me give you the numbers, and you can call in and talk to myself or the guest, Lori Buchanan, today. The first number is 1-887-296-0345 or 1-917-889-3818. And you can also email my my email, which is roysolberg@gmail.com. And remember, it's roysolberg@gmail.com. Okay, so let's get started. The Alchemist is about change. You know, the old thing of changing lead into gold. Well, in our auras and in our systems, we have past hurts, beliefs, whatever you want to call it, that create lead in our energetic system. And so today we're going to talk about how to turn those into gold. The Alchemist archetype wants you to examine what needs to change in your life. Is it belief, action? What are you holding on to? Is it working for you or is it not? Words have alchemical power, according to Carolyn Mace. And when we speak, we are conducting an alchemical ceremony. So we want to be very, very careful about how we talk to ourselves, how we explain our lives, how we describe our lives. The Illuminated Alchemist represents change and transformation that takes you to a new level of energy. Because the higher your frequency of energy, the faster and easier change comes about, and the easier you can manifest new things into your life. The Shadow Alchemist keeps you stuck in trauma drama, holding on to past experiences, kind of like carrying a heavy lead weight. Let me get my tongue straightened out here. It's like carrying a heavy lead weight everywhere you go. Carolyn Mace again says, get bored with your past because, honey, it's over. Change doesn't happen in your life, but, you know, most of the time, once we get over that fear of change, we realize it was the best thing that ever happened to us. So today we're going to explore your opportunities to see things in a new way with Lori Buchanan. Lori is a healer, life coach, and author of a new book called Discovering the Seven Selves, and we'll be sure and ask her about that. She is trained in energy medicine. She's a transformational life coach, and she is also the founder of Whole Essence, a healing studio that she founded about a decade ago in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Her philosophy is whatever you are not changing, you're choosing. So she works with the whole person. She helps you turn your intention into action and helps get you from where you are to where you want to be, both in all three of mind, body, and spirit. So let's bring Lori on and have a chat. Lori, how are you?
Hi, Roy. I'm fine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the show. So let's talk about letting go. How can the listeners begin to let go of those things that don't serve them anymore?
One of the things they need to do first is to find out what their limiting beliefs are. So many people embrace rather than release limiting beliefs. And what do I mean by limiting belief? Somebody might believe, I'm not good enough the way I am. No one else can do the job as well as I can. When good things happen, something's going to happen to ruin it. If I share what I have, then I won't have anything left. Those are examples of limiting beliefs. So one of the things that I have my clients do is take an internal inventory, and we ask some really hard-hitting questions. And these questions, I don't allow them to answer with a simple yes or no. I want to know why yes and why no? And I want to know it down to the gnat's whisker. We really need to peel mm-hmm. this thing back like an onion. There's so many layers of skin on an onion. And sometimes it's very hurtful. And it could be something that's physical. It could be something that's mental. It could be something that's emotional. It could be something that's spiritual. But we've got to first identify some limiting beliefs, because it's not until we can release them do we create the space to embrace things that are positive, uplifting, constructive, and healing. And those are beliefs that are encouraging rather than limiting. And an example might be, I am worthy. I already have everything I need. I embody unlimited, unleashed potential and possibility. So there's a vast difference between limiting beliefs and encouraging beliefs.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, once we can get to the bottom, do you find that sometimes the belief that they come in with, as a client goes deeper, they realize that's not the belief at all, it's something entirely different?
Absolutely. That can happen as well. They might have thought, I'm completely making this up. You know, this happened mm-hmm. when I off the horse when I was 7 years old, when actually it was something that happened in the science class when they were 13, you know, something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things, you know, so many things, when we're born, sometimes we inherit some types of beliefs. Perhaps
yes.
The family that we live with, maybe we have a particular cultural background and they've told us A, B, C about this cultural background. And then our parents might be this particular political party and we might take that on. They might be this faith background and we might take that on. And as we grow up, we start seeing how comfortable or not those beliefs are. They're sort of like mm-hmm. a mantle or a shawl or a coat, and we see how comfortable they are or aren't. And then we can start to scrutinize what we've been told and what we're embracing. And for me, I can only say this for me, but I think it's true for everyone, but I don't want to make a blanket statement like that. If mm-hmm. a belief that we embrace can't stand up to scrutiny, then it's not worth embracing. We should be able to question these things that we've been told or these batons that we've been handed and asked to run with, rather than just accepting it blindly. And any belief worth believing, again, should be able to stand up under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the same
exactly.
way?
I agree. What is the hardest belief that people have to overcome in your experience?
The biggest one for me, and of course 90% of my clients are female, so let me start there,
mm-hmm.
is self-worth. I am not worthy.
Uh-huh.
Somehow I need to discount myself. I'm damaged goods. I need to be in the clearance bin. There's something about their personal value that they see as diminished.
I find that as well. I'm not good enough. No matter what I do, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So,
right.
So what do you, starting with a client who is somewhat diminished in their self-esteem, what's your next step with them?
Well, we talk about, okay, so here's where you are. Let's call that A. Where do you want to be? We'll call that C. And then there's this distance in between, which we'll call
mm-hmm.
B. It's that delta. It's the difference. Is where they want to be realistic? So let me give you an example. Let's say that somebody is 5'5", they have brown eyes, and they want to be 6'2" and have blue eyes. That is not going to happen, at least not in this lifetime.
Oh,
so
darn.
We have to have realistic, you know, I want to get from A to C, and I need to get through the delta, B. So first of all, we have to say, are they realistic? And if yes, why do you want to be this or not be this? What, you know, I need to understand where they're coming from. And one of the things that the second time I visit with somebody in a 9-month program is I have them determine their purpose. You know, I have many people who lay on my table and I'll say, and what's your life purpose? And it's amazing the deer in the headlights look that
mm-hmm.
I get. And they'll say most of the time, I haven't found it yet. And I'm here to tell anybody that might be listening, if you wait until you find your purpose, it's not something we trip over one day and go, oh, my gosh, there it is. That's
there it
purpose.
Is, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's something we actually have to stick a stake in the ground and claim. We determine it.
Exactly.
So then we talk about what a person's purpose is. And I really, this is the session where people cry the most because I'm really asking them, but why, but why, but why, so that they can have a conviction about it. I want them to be able to, should it become necessary, which it wouldn't, but can you defend this belief? Can you defend this? This is my purpose. Then we talk about if you're authentically living your purpose, then what's next? Well, there's an outcome, and we call that a mission. That's great. And what path are you using? What's the vehicle that you're going to use to accomplish this? And then what's the fuel in your tank? What does it consist of? I call that passion. How much fuel do you have? Are you on fumes? Are you on full? And what does it consist of? And then they also have to create their own philosophy. So as an example, my purpose. I am a channel for grace, and what I mean by grace is the immediate presence of spirit. If I am authentically channeling grace, then my mission, I affect heart-based change. What is my path? Well, I practice excellence. That's how I get it done. That's how I get the job done. What's my passion? What's the fuel in my tank? I'm fueled by compassion. And then my philosophy, you said at the beginning of the show, whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. So the second time I meet with somebody, we go through this 90 minutes of tears and snot and hiccuping and all of that. But at the end, and then I have them frame it. They have to frame it. And each night before they go to bed, just like me, how did I do on a scale of 1 to 10? If 1 is pathetic, 10 is fantastic, and I can't pick 5, how did I do today?
Right, right. It is amazing. I tell my clients that I am your fairy godmother and I can give you anything that you want. You have to tell me what you want. And it is amazing how difficult that is to say. They will start with, well, my husband or my friend or my parents want me to do such and such. But getting it down to the actual, what do you want? There are so many layers that are piled onto us as we grow up, don't you think?
Yes.
Especially as women, that we have to serve, which is great, and we do serve, but we have to serve ourselves first.
Absolutely.
So after they decide how to let go and take inventory of their life, how do you go about, you talked about finding the passion. Do you then break it down into specific intentions?
Absolutely. And you said very nicely at the beginning, what we think about, we bring about, and what we say, which is nothing more than audible thought, same thing happens. So we've got this thing around us. We'll call it an aura. Different people call it different things. And anything we're thinking or saying, we're feeding that thing, and it's getting stronger and stronger with that. So if I say, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'll never amount to anything, I'm feeding this thing around me with that. If I say the sky's the limit, I can do anything I set my mind to, I can kick butt and take names, I am feeding that with that. So we have to remember, whatever we think about or speech, which is audible thought, we bring about. And so I have someone, let's say that they say to me, with the determine, okay, now what is your passion and what's your life purpose and all of this good stuff. Well, what do you want to do? There's a difference between being and doing. What do you want to do? So I have them get a spiral notebook, and on the first page, I have them write 3 things. They can be their dreams. They can be their goals. They can be their intentions, whatever they are. 3 things. Wonderful. Now, each day hereafter, for the next 30 days, on a fresh page behind this, you're going to write down 10 things that you did today. Just before you go to bed, write down 10 things you did today. At the end of the month, this is one of the action steps from turning intention into action. You can look back at those pages, and let's say somebody wants to be a writer. I want to write a book. If in 30 days they didn't do anything about writing, perhaps they're not really going to be writing. Maybe they learned, though, that they have a spick and span house. They've got the cleanest house on the block, and there's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with cleaning at all, but it's very different from being a writer. So I have, that's one of the action steps that somebody can do to turn their intentions into actions is to look and see, what are they really doing? How are they, I don't like to call it spending their time, but investing their time. How are you investing your life?
Yes, because each one of those days is our life. I mean, there is, all we have is the moment. All we have is consecutive moments of now. And so if we're not using those in a way that serves our spirit and our soul, then what are we doing with all these moments of now?
Absolutely. And there's, I'm not making a judgment on this. I'm just using this as an example. Let's say that somebody is going to opt to watch a Gilligan's Island rerun at midnight. They mm-hmm. just paid for that with their life.
Yes.
You know, we have so many heartbeats.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's putting it in a very powerful statement that we are paying for it with our life and those moments and
that's
energy.
Absolutely. And that's probably how you and I both know whether we say yes to something that somebody's asked us to do or no to something. Okay, mm-hmm. if I'm going to spend the next 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes that way, is it worth it to me to pay for it with my life?
Yes.
We start looking at things very differently.
I have a saying of there are two reasons to do something. I want to or I don't want to. And if you have, I don't want to, but I feel guilty, then you need to back up the bus and go back to I want to or I don't want to. So now you just finished and published a book, Discovering the Seven Selves.
Yes.
Oh, it's not out yet?
It's not out yet. It is not out yet. My literary agent is she's got three publishing houses that are very interested in it, which I'm tremendously excited. And it talks about the baggage associated with each of the seven selves that we have, self-preservation, self-gratification, self-definition, and so forth. And as we go through life, we don't pack for one. We pack for seven. And these bags start becoming very, very heavy. And there's no need to carry this baggage. You know, we're born without even so much as a coin purse. Yet by the time many of us die, we've got a 16-piece Louis Vuitton set filled with stuff. And this book is about unpacking this baggage so we can travel light, travel fast. That's the bottom line on top.
Wow. How exciting. How exciting.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for joining me today. This was great. Now, how can people get in touch with you?
Let me give you my email address. Is that a good way?
Okay. Yep. So, your website and your blog.
Okay. So my email address is Lori, Laurie, at Holescence, HOLESSENCE.com. My website is www.holescence, spelled the same way, .com. And my blog is holescence.wordpress.com.
Perfect. And I have looked at all of these, and they're wonderful, so I want everyone to go and check it out and just enjoy Lori's wisdom and expertise here. Thank you so much. Promise me you'll come back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Roy.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We have a caller for a reading. So, Michelle, if you will hook us up here. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Your name is Kathy, right?
Right.
Now, is there anything specific that you wanted to have a reading on?
I've been told that I have a gift, but I am not seeing it clearly.
Uh-huh.
I'm not seeing the signs.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to know what I'm missing.
You're talking about in your intuition.
Right.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to draw a card, and then we're going to talk about intuition, and I'm going to check into why this is not coming through to you. So,
like somebody said, I could do the tarot cards, and I mean, I do them for myself, but I still am not comfortable doing them for like other people yet.
So the the card that I drew for you is Rescuer, the Rescuer archetype. And I'm going to tell you what the Rescuer is about, and then we'll get into specifics for you because I'm picking up quite a bit. So this is about freedom. It's the Illuminated has the strength to release yourself from others and limiting situations. So this is the good side of the Rescuer for you. And that's exactly where you are, is in a limiting situation. You want to know why and how before you jump in and do. And when we do that, we're working from fear rather than courage. The Shadow is about creating a problem. I don't get that you're in the shadow necessarily. I don't get that you're, although you do have a tendency to rescue other people. So we want to be able to help them, but release them at the same time. You with me on that? So when you do your card readings, you go home with them. And you worry about what you've told them, if it's accurate, and if it's going to impact them, and what should I tell them. So you're constantly editing the information that you get from the cards. So what I would suggest is that you get some really good friends, and you practice, and you just say what you get when you are reading the cards, rather than all of this editing that you do. I'll share a story with you that I had studied and done a lot of readings, and then due to situation beyond my control, I quit. And when I went back, you have to kind of get in the flow of things, and this client came, and she sat down, and she said, "Where am I going?" And when I went into her energy, I saw Sedona, I saw the red rocks, and she said, "Nope." And it was like, okay, talk about having to trust yourself. And I said, "Well, that's what I'm getting. So you're going to have to tell me." Well, she was going to Eastern Europe at the time. So as she's leaving, she said, "Oh, by the way, my twin sister is leaving for Sedona the same time that I'm leaving for Europe." You get it? So
yeah,
it's
I get
a mess.
It.
I could have fallen just completely out at that time. And I said, "No, I'm just going to have to trust that this is what I'm getting," and so on and so forth. So I want you to practice. And I always tell people, I could be wrong. There is the possibility that I could be wrong. And that will give you a comfort zone in your reading. So hang on just a second. Let me take a quick look at...
Also, I'm going to take a class on Sunday with the group. Well,
uh-huh.
I don't know if it's a class, but I mean, I'm sure I will get something out of it with them.
And study as much as you can. Make sure that the people that you are studying with are people of integrity.
Right.
If they, yes, because you want to be able to learn what they're teaching you and then take it beyond that. You have a lot of people waiting for you. I see energetically, a whole crowd coming in for these readings. It's a matter of you saying, "Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to, use this talent that I have." And it is exercise. You just keep working at it until it's so much a part of you. There's just no separating you. So.
Well, I've also been told that I can't speak my truth because whatever, I guess I was killed in my previous life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to work on that to clear that.
Okay. A good Reiki master. Do you know of one?
Well, I'm up to Reiki too, but I'm not a Reiki master. No. Yeah, I do
okay.
know one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Help. Is an issue in a past life and you want to clear it, and you want to clear it now because you're aware that it's not working for you anymore.
Right.
That's the same thing of something in my past life that was stopping me. But let me tell you, my dear, spirit camps on your doorstep. It's not going to leave you alone until you say, "Okay, I'll go this way."
Well,
especially
I am ready. I'm just waiting.
No, stop waiting.
All right.
Yeah, as they say, get some good friends, get friends of friends, and say, "I'm going to practice." Charge, a minimal amount, anywhere from, whatever you have in mind. and say, I'm doing this as practice and I want feedback on how it goes, et cetera, et cetera. But when you bring them in, create a ritual as you're bringing them in, and then a ritual that releases. You can do smudge.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how to smudge?
Yeah, I do.
So smudge, I always wash my hands from my fingertips to my elbows after a client to kind of wash the energy away.
Mm-hmm.
That's important when you're doing readings. So, yeah, this is fun. You were great. You are great at this. So it's a matter of practice. It's a matter of practice. And listening and trusting. Those
okay.
are the three. So any other questions? We have about 2 minutes left here.
Do you know about people that are coming, like my grandmother and on the other side? I have a great-grandmother that's trying to help me.
Yeah, you have a whole host of people who are trying to help you.
Uh-huh.
Great-grandmother feels stronger to me than the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both there.
Okay.
There are three. You have three.
Uh-huh.
Three are helping you. And, again, you know, it's up to you to communicate with them. Pull them in before a reading.
Mm-hmm.
Pull your spirit guides and all of your client's spirit guides into the room and be sure that you thank them and release them. You know, set up your own ritual before and after a reading.
Okay.
And make sure that you clear yourself. Now, do you get your intuitions by feeling, seeing, hearing?
Feeling.
Okay. Feelers, we have a tendency to suck that energy in and take care, you know, just hold it in our body.
Mm-hmm.
So make get a good hot bath work, sea salt and soda baths help clear that energy for you.
Okay.
But that's important. And push the energy out so you're not, you know, I'm showing you.
Yeah.
Arm-length. Take a deep breath, uh-huh. Push that energy. When you get into a situation where you feel you're being, you know, where it isn't comfortable, you want to push it out rather than pulling it in.
All right.
Okay.
Well, really, really good tips for a beginner. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a few minutes left here. Next week, we're having Denise Poole, and I just get my phone out. Denise Poole, the Stone Crone, is coming to visit and talk with us about how she does readings. There are so many different readings and ways. I've had my toes read. I've had my stones read. I've had my fingers read. There are just so many ways. So I want to give you a sense of all the different ways that one can do a reading. So as I leave you, remember that life is a unification of fragmentation. These fragments are units of power that are, you know, we've scattered them all over the place. And when we come back to life, we make agreements to collect ourselves. And this is what the show is all about, allowing yourself to collect all of those parts of you, all of that spirit of you that you've sent in different directions over the years. So join me next week as we talk archetypes. You are welcome to go to my blog, which is Spirit of Archetypes, at blogspot.com. And I'm opening up a Let's Talk page. So if you have questions, if you, you know, like Kathy's reading today, if she has extra questions, she's welcome to come and, you know, email them to me and I will answer them online. So I think we're just about out of time. Have a great, great week. Remember, change is easy, and what you're not changing, you're choosing. So let's start on changing your story in order to change your life.